Okay, Tov, good morning. Today's daf, we're doing daf Yud Tet, daf 19. We left off in the middle of daf Yud Chet Amud Bet. Today's class will be for the Refu'ah Shalom, Abba Lecholim, Abba Yishrat, Shalom, Abba Ben Sarah, David, Ben Echalef, Abba Devar, Abba Rechabet, Yochabet, Rifka, Abba Deser, Shalom, Abba Sarah, Ephraim, Ben Ayam, Moshe, Ben Echana, Yafa, Abba Miriam, Yehuda, Ben Yafa, Chaya, Sarah, Abba Simcha, Rechab, Echana, David, Ben Esther, Simcha, Ben Malka, Yed Miriam, Abba Yochabet, Eliza, Abba Miriam, Echana, Eliyan, Abba Neom, Rechad, Esther, Abba Tamar, Esther, Abba Chana, ולעבדיל אלו נשמת אל ישב הבת אהרון, אהרון בן יצחק, בנימין בן יצחק, ליל דינה בת אפרים. לילו נשמת.
אברהים
אפרים בן חנוכה. שלהם רפואה שלמה, לילו נשמתם, בזאת השם. Okay, we left off in the middle of Yurched Amud Bet. We're jumping back into our Mishnah. We're smack in the middle of the page, maybe 20 lines from the bottom. Four lines from before the lines get long. Okay, mitnamnem yatsa. Everyone see where we are? About four lines from when the lines get long. The Mishnah said mitnamnem yatsa. If a person was dozing off, one second, I didn't join the Zoom. So if somebody was dozing off and they heard the Megillah, they still fulfilled the obligation. So the Gemara says, hechi dame mitnamnem. What is considered mitnamnem? What is this talking about when someone is dozing off? She says, Amar Rav Ashe nim velo nim. Tir velo tir. This is a guy who's like really like he's in and out. He's dozing off. He says, "Dekarule ve'ane." You call his name and he answers you. Velo yada la'adure svara, but he cannot respond to you and answer to like your question. And he says, "Vechi mitkarule mitkar." When you remind him and you ask him, "Do you remember when we were asking you questions?" He remembers. He remembers everything. You know when you wake somebody up in the morning and they're a very deep sleeper and they're like and they can respond to you. But they don't know what's going on. Sometimes they don't remember. If you try to remind them later, like, what, you woke me up? I have no clue. But this guy remembers. If he remembers, so he's considered this mitnamnem, he's considered dozing off, and he would be fulfilling his obligation to the Megillah. Haya kotva dorshavi umagiha. Someone was writing it, he was doresh, or he was, proofreading it. He says, im kiven libo yatsa. If you had intention, you fulfill your obligation. Hechidame, how is this the case? He says, how is this case? Ideka mesader pesuka pesuka vekatavla. He says if a person was, let's say, reading the pesukim, he would misader pasuk pasuk, he would read a pasuk and then he would write it down. He would misader the pasuk and then write it down. Why does that have to do with him having intention or not? He's reading it by heart. So if a person's reading it by heart, how does that help you? We said that if a person reads by heart, he does not fulfill the obligation, right? So what's the difference here, right? If you look at Rashi says dekamesader pesuka al peh. He's doing it by heart. He's putting together the pasuk vekatav le vekatane yatzal yedei kriyat oto hasidur. And it says you're fulfilling your obligation through that those pasukim that you're putting together by heart. So how does that make any sense? It cannot be that you're fulfilling your obligation by heart. So it cannot be that that's the case. Ela dekatav pesuka vekarela. He says, rather, what you're doing is you're writing pasuk pasuk, and every time you write a pasuk, you would read the pasuk. So every pasuk you write, you're reading it. So you're fulfilling obligation through every pasuk you read. He says, if umi yatsa, do you fulfill your obligation in that case? Ve'amar bichelbo, but Rabbi Chelbo said, Amar bichama barguria, Amar Rav, halacha kedivrei haomer kula. The halacha we follow is machloket, but the halacha is that we follow the opinion that says you have to read the whole Megillah. You cannot just read part of the Megillah. It has to, and va'filu leman damar me'ish yehudi. And even in the, according to the opinion in the Mishnah that we're going to see, I think on the next Amud, that you can just read from ish yehudi, which is in the middle of the first chapter and on. Even from there, tzricha shetehek ketuva kula. You need the Megillah to be completely written. You cannot read part of the Megillah, then continue writing. Read the next part, then continue writing. It has to be fully written, no matter what, for you to be able to read the Megillah from wherever you go from. Ela de mancha megillah kamei vekari la mina. Rather, there's a megillah in front of him, and he's reading the megillah. And as he's reading it, vekari la mina pesuka pesuka vekatavla. He reads pasuk by pasuk, and he writes down the pasuk in his megillah. So he has a megillah over here. He reads one pasuk. Okay, he writes the next pasuk. Okay, he reads this pasuk. He goes and writes it over here. He continues going one by one. So he's reading it in a kosher megillah, and he's writing it in his new megillah. And that's how we would say that somebody like that would fulfill their obligation. So the Gemara says, "Lema mesayele le Rabba bar Barchana." Let's say that this supports the opinion of Rabba Barchana. The Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asur lichtov ot echad shalom in aktav. You're not allowed to write one word of Torah, one word of Tanakh, without luing it from the actual ktav itself. So if you want to write down Torah, you cannot do it by heart, he says. You have to do it from the actual Kitab itself. So this is supporting that opinion, because we're saying that he had to have done it from the Megillah, and he cannot fulfill the obligation by reading it by heart. The Gemara says, no. Maybe it just so happened to have fallen out like that, that he wrote like that. Right? That he wrote in a way that he was copying from the Megillah. But it could be that if a person, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's specifically supporting the opinion of Rabbah Bar Chana, that you need to write from another book, from the Kitab of Megillah. It just so happens to be that he's fulfilling the obligation. But if the guy was saying, I want to write a Megillah, and he wasn't fulfilling his obligation, so he can't write it by heart, could be that he still could write it by heart. So it does not, it's not necessarily a support to Rabbah Bar Chana. So when it says Gufa, we go back to the opinion of Rabbah Bar Chana. You're not allowed to write even one letter, not from another, from the actual writing itself. You cannot do it by heart. Meitivei, the Gemara says, we have a contradiction. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Maaseh b'Rabbi Meir. There was a case of Rabbi Meir shalach le'aber shana. He went to make it a leap year. Be'asia in Asia, ve'lo yasham megillah, and there was no megillah over there. Ve'katva. And he wrote it from his heart, he wrote it by heart, and he read it. What do you see over there? He wrote it by heart. You don't need to write it from the Kitab, you don't need to write it from an actual Sefer itself. You could write, he wrote it by heart. Why? Rabbi Meir, so why for Rabbi Meir is it okay? Okay, so let's see. Amar bi Abahu Shani Rabbi Meir de Mikayim Beiv Afapecha Yashiru Negdecha. He says that Rabbi Meir is different. Why? He is fulfilling the pasuk that says Afapecha, which the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Yashiru Negdecha. That the Torah, somebody who's baki in the Torah, it becomes like you know, it's like they're able to write it by heart because they're so baki and so fluent in all the pasukim. So somebody is at that extent, at that level, that they know Kola Torah Kula by heart, they would be allowed to. So his case is different. The Gemara is trying to say, Amar lei Rami Bar Chama Rabbi Yirmiya midifti from difti my va'af apecha yashiru negdecha. What does pasuk mean? Amar lo elu divrei Torah. These are talking about the words of Torah. Dichti v'hu. That if a person removes their eyes from the Torah, they will be, he will not be there anymore. Okay? And even so, they were so, you know, clear to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir had so baki and he was so fluent in the words of Torah that for him it was allowed to be written. That's what the Gemara tries to say. He saw Rav Chananel writing books not from the actual Kitab itself, not from reading it. From somewhere he was doing it by heart. Amar Lei, Re'uya Kol HaTorah Kula Likatev Apicha. He says the whole Torah can be written on, by heart by you. He says, "Ela kacham ro chachamim asur lechtov od echad shel minaktav." But the chachamim said that you're not allowed to write by heart. You have to write it from the sefer. So you're doing something that's not allowed. Is what he told him. So he says, "Midikamar kol haTorah kula reuya shikatev al picha mikal demisharin hen etzlo." From the fact that he said that the whole Torah can be written by heart from Rav Chananel, it sounds like Rav Chananel was very fluent. And still, what? And still, he told him it's asur. You're not allowed to. So this sounds like a contradiction unto the opinion, and right? And we said Vahar Rabbi Meir Katav. We said that Rabbi Meir did write, even though he was baki. So are you allowed to write when you're fluent, or you're not allowed to write by heart when you're fluent? So the Gemara says Shata Dachak Shane, that when it's a pushing situation, then you would be allowed to. So in Rabbi Meir's case, that they were in a city on Purim and there was no Megillah in town, I guess, and somebody like Rabbi Ben Chaim knows it by heart, maybe it would be okay for them to write it. But I think nowadays you have phones, you have so many ways of copying the Megillah from somewhere that's Mina Ktav that you don't necessarily need to do it by heart. Let's continue. Abaye shara ledver barchavu lemichtav tefillin umezuzot shalom min aktav. Abaye permitted these men who were tefillin sellers. They sold tefillin that they were allowed to write by heart. Says Keman, who did he hold like? Ki hai tana, like this tana. The tanya, as the Braita says, Rabbi Yirmiyah amir mishum Rabbeinu. He says in the name of Rabbeinu. I guess Rabbeinu is talking about the Rav. Let's just confirm. Rabbeinu. Let's see if Rashi says. No. Shum Rabbeinu. Okay, I think it's Rav, but Enechin, or whatever. So the Gemara says that he says in the name of Rabbeinu that Tefillinu Mezuzot Nichtavot Shalom Min Aktav Ve'en Tzrichot Sirtut. That Tefillinu Mezuzot are allowed to be written by heart, and they don't need to have the etched lines like the Sefer Torah has. That's what he said. So he said to them, "Vilcheta and the halacha is tefillin ein shachin sirtut, that tefillin does not need the etched lines. The mezuzot shachin sirtut, whereas mezuzot do need the etched lines. Yidvi idin nichtavot shalom yinichtavot. Both of them are allowed to be written. Not you can do it even by heart." So the Gemara says, "My tama, migris garisin, because people are so fluent in the words of the tefillin and the Megillah, kadesh li shemai not the Megillah, the mezuzah. Sorry, so you're so fluent in those." Pesukim, that it's very easy for a person to do that even by heart. Okay, we stop there for a question. Let's continue. We're in the last line of the Amud. Hayita keduva besam, if it was in besam, where we said all these different ingredients. So he says, sam, v'chulei, sam, sama. Sama is like a yellow type of dye, I guess. A type of tzahov, huh? It's like a, you know, type of like ointment or whatnot that they would use as like a dye. It says, sikra amar baba barchana, sikrata shema. It's like a red dye. Kumos, kuma. Kuma is like, it comes from the tree, so it's like a type of sap of some sort. Kankantom, charata de ushkafe. He says it's the shoe shiner dye. Diftera de maliach v'kameach v'lo afitz. Diftera, what was diftera? It was a type of, you know, the ore that they would write it on. It was, which was not kasher. We said it was salted with salt and flour and, the ore, you know, when you take a hide and you want to make it, in, like tan it and make it into a, you know, a hide that you can write on. So they would salt it with flour and everything. But it says it was not salted with v'lo'afitz. It was not with gallnuts, which I guess needed to be done for it to reach its high level of, like, me'ubadness, for it to be completely me'ubad. So it didn't have that. Niyar mechaka. Niyar is made of, I guess, different types of, like, asavim, different types of grass that they would, like, stick together, and, like, greens that would stick together in order to create
paper,
that.
Like a paper, regular paper.
Yeah, like a type of paper. Right? Okay, then the Mishnah said, "Ad shetek ketuvah ashurit, until it's written in Hebrew, has to be written in Hebrew. Tichtiv kichtava mechizmanam, has to be written in their language, in the language it was written in." Right? Megillah was in Hebrew. Ala seder vidyo, ala sefer vidyo, on the klav and the ink. Minalan, how do we know that? Atya ketiva ketiva, zgzera shava ketiva ketiva. Ketiva, ketiv hacha, it says over here in the Megillah, "Vatichtov Esther hamalka," that she wrote this, the Megillah. Uchtiv hatam, it says over there, this is referring to in the book of Yirmiyahu. So he says, "Vayomer lahem baruch mipiv yikra elai et kol hadevarim ha'ele." He will call to me all of these matters. "Vani kotev ala sefer bidyo," and I will write on the cloth with ink. So he makes a gzera shava ktav ktav, that just like Yirmiyahu wrote on the sefer with dio, so too the Megillah has to be written on the sefer with dio. Starting a new Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Ben ir shahalach likrach." If you have a person from a city who went to a person from a walled city, so he went from some 14th, he's reading on the 14th to somewhere on the 15th. "Uben krach shahalach leir," or the other way around. "Im atid lachzolim komo korekim komo." If he is going to end up returning back to his normal place, then he reads the same time as his normal place of living. "Vim lav koreimahen," and if it's not going to eventually return, we're going to see when he has to return, but if he's not going to return back to his place, then he reads with the people of the town that he's in. We're going to see. The Gemara will explain. Okay? The Gemara will explain. "Umhechan kore adam et ha-megillah." And from where do you read the Megillah? "V'yotze ba'yidei chovato," and you fulfill your obligation. Now we have this machloket we mentioned earlier. Rabbi Meir omer kula. Rabbi Meir says you have to read the whole Megillah. That's the halacha l'maaseh. Of course you have to read the whole Megillah. The second opinion, Rabbi Yehuda omer me'ish Yehudi, says no, from the ish Yehudi, which, sorry, I think I said earlier was in the end of the first chapter. I think it's towards the end of the third chapter. The beginning of the third chapter. Okay, Rabbi Yose Omer Me'achar Hadevarim Ha'ele from. Hold on, Me'ish Yehudi. I believe it is in the end of the first chapter. Does it say over there?
End of the second chapter, pasuk 5.
Okay, so beginning of the second chapter, and Me'achar Hadevarim Ha'ele is the third chapter, first pasuk. Okay, so three different opinions where you have to actually begin from, and the Gemara will explain why we go to these opinions. Amar Rava, lo shanu ela she'atid lachzor b'leilei yudalet. We said when you have to return latest by the night of the 14th. It says, aval ein atid lachzor b'leilei arba'asar, but if you're not going to return on the night of the 14th, korei imahen, you have to read with the city that you are with at the time of Purim. Amar Rava, mina amen ala, from where do I know this? Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, al ken ha'yehudim ha'parazim ha'yoshrim ba'arei ha'perazot. The open city, people who live in the open cities. Why does that have to say twice? Why does that have to say parazim, parazot twice? It says, michti, k'tiv ha'yehudim ha'parazim. It says the open city Yehudim. Lama le mechtav hayoshim ba'arei ha'perazot. So why does that say they're sitting in the open cities? It says, hakamash malan, they're coming to teach us that paruz ben yomon, yikra paruz, that somebody who's who's actually from a walled city, but he comes and spends the day of Purim, he's spending in a open city, we consider him like an open city person, and he has to read on the 14th. So it really depends on if you're going to return by the night of the 14th or not. If you will eventually return, then you can read.
Why do you need to even write a Mishnah about it? If you're not going to be back by the 14th, so you read the 13th. I thought it meant that, like, you know, if you're going to stay in the thing, and then now your place becomes like the 13th. But this is like, of course, if you don't...
No, I think what it's saying is Lil Arba'asar, I think, means the night before the 14th comes out. Meaning, when we say, let's say we say Lil Shabbat. What's Lil Shabbat?
Arba'asar Eve.
Lil Shabbat is the night of Shabbat, meaning it's the night Shabbat enters. So Lil Arba'asar means the night the 14th enters. So it's before the morning of actual 14th, where they would read the Megillah in that specific town. So it's, let's say, the 13th at night, really. You understand? The way it works is that the 14th starts at night. So it's by the night of the 14th, before Alot HaShachar.
Right.
So until the morning, they can't read the Megillah until the morning. If he's going to return before the morning, then he goes and reads on the 15th. If he's not going to return before the morning, he's staying in the city, let's say the non-walled city, on the whole 14th day, and then he's going to go back before the 15th. That doesn't work. You're in the city with them while they're reading, you have to read with them. Okay? That's what they're going to teach you.
They read on a Monday, or right?
We're going to see. The Gemara will explain what it's talking about. Ashkechan paruz, mukaf minalan. So it taught us only about open cities. From where do we know walled cities? A person who is in a walled city for one day is considered like a walled city. Svarahu, it's a svara, we can understand it logically. It says, mide paruz ben yomo karu paruz, mukaf ben yomo karu mukaf. That somebody, if he is in an open city for one day, he's considered like an open city person. So too, if a person is in a walled city for one day, he's considered like a walled city person. Vamarava bin kfar shalach la'ir. If you have a village person who went to a city, right? And he read on the Yom HaKnisa. He read earlier already. He read it on the Monday and Thursday before Purim. It says, Bein kachu, bein kach korei mahen. No matter what, he still has to read with them. Before, we were talking about the krach. Here is the kfar. The kfarim, the Bnei Kfarim, they read on the Yom HaKnisa. The krach reads on the 15th. The krach is the walled city. The air is the open city on the 14th. And the kfarim, the villages, would read on the Yom HaKnisa. So he says, if someone did this, he still has to read with them. It's my tama, what's the reason? Haikev ne'ir ba'i lemikrei. Really, he needs to read on the same day as the Bnei Ir, as the same day as the 14th. V'rabbanan hu de'ekilu ala kfarim, or mipnei, shisapku mayim mazon lachayin shebakarachin. Says, and the Rabbanan, they permitted to the people, the village people, that they can read earlier, so that on the day of Purim, they'd be available to give out food, or mipnei, because they give out food, right? We said earlier the maskana was that it's a reward for them. It's a reward because they spend the day giving out food and water to their brothers that need it, so they clear that day for them and they're able to read the Megillah earlier. So he says, so why do they need to read again? So he says, hanemile ki ite biduchtei. That's only when they are in their actual place of living. He says, aval ki ite be'ir, kibne'ir by the mikre. When they're in the city, they're actually in the city, so they need to read like the people of the city. They need to read on the 14th itself. Okay, ATV, we have a contradiction. Abaye says, Ben Krach Shalach La'ir. If you have a person who's supposed to read on the 15th, he went to the city on the 14th. Ben Kach, Ben Kach, Korei Kim Komo. No matter what, he still reads like his own place. Does that make sense? This goes against our Mishnah. Right, what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that no, it depends on if you're going to return back or not. So the Gemara says, Ben Krach Shalach La'ir. You think it's talking about a Ben Krach? Person is supposed to read on the 15th? Be'im Atid Lachzor Tal Yamilta. We said it depends on if he will return by the 14th night or not. So El Allah Ben Kfar. Rather, it must be talking about a Ben Kfar, a villager. Velav Taritzim Taritzit, and it's not giving like an answer. Tane Kore Imahen. It should have actually taught that he has to read with them. That's what it actually meant to teach. So, really, what it meant over here is that somebody who is a Ben Kfar, if he's in the city, if he goes to that city, he needs to read with them, regardless of when he reads. Me'echan kore adam et ha-megillah. When does a person read Megillah v'chule and he fulfills the obligation? Tanya, Rashbi Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Mibalayla ha'u, from Mibalayla ha'u. This is from the sixth chapter. This is a different opinion. The beginning of the sixth chapter. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'kulam yichra ha'chad darshu. Everyone was doresh one pasuk to understand when you have, what is the obligation of reading the Megillah. Do you have to read the whole Megillah? Do you have to read half of the Megillah? Do you have to read from Me'ishi Yehudi? So they said they learn from this pasuk. V'tichtov Esther ha'malka, U'mordechai Yehudi, et kol tokef. The pasuk continues over there. So he says, what is tokef? So he says, the strength or the power, it says, Manda Amar Kula Tokvo Shel Achashverosh. The person who says, you have to read the whole Megillah, it's talking about the Megillah has to be read, the whole thing. Why? Because it's talking about the Tokvo of Achashverosh, the power of Achashverosh. The whole story begins with Achashverosh, Vayi B'mei Achashverosh. So it has to be the whole thing. Uman da amar me'ish Yehudi, the one who says from the Ish Yehudi, which is in the second chapter, we said, says, Tokfosh al Mordechai, it's talking about the power of Mordechai when Mordechai jumps into the story. Then it says, Uman da amar me'achar davari ma'ele, from the third chapter, that opinion, Tokfosh al Haman, it's talking about the strength of Haman, the power of Haman, which is started from the, it starts from the third chapter. It says, Uman da amar mi'balai lahun, the one who says from that night, which is the sixth chapter, Tokfosh al Nes, that's the beginning of the miracle of Purim. So he would say it starts from the power of the miracle of Purim, that's when you start mentioning, that's when you, the reason why you have that obligation. Okay, Rav Huna amar mihacha, Rav Huna says from here, Umar ra'u al kacha, he's learned that from a different pasuk, Umar ra'u al kacha, Umar higia elehem. What did they see, al kacha, on this, Umar higia elehem, what was the end? So he says, "Man damar kula." The one who says you have to read the whole Megillah, your obligation, the whole Megillah. Man ra'a Achashverosh and ishtemesh bekadim shel Beit Hamikdash. What did Achashverosh see that he used the utensils of the Beit Hamikdash? He says, "Al kacha." For this reason, mishum dechashiv shivim shanin v'lo yifrok, because he counted 70 years, and the Jews still were not redeemed. He did it. Remember the calculation we had earlier. He had a 70-year calculation, and they weren't redeemed yet. So clearly, he said they're not going to be redeemed, and he used the kelim. And what happened at the end? Maya sofo, the katal Vashti, he killed Vashti at the end. That was his end.
Yeah, it didn't end well. Satan too.
Yes, exactly. Uman da'amar mi'ish Yehudi, says the one who says from Ish Yehudi, ma ra'a Mordechai de'ikne be'Haman. What was seen in Mordechai? What did he see that he caused anger to Haman? She says, al kacha de'shave nafshe avodah zara, because he looked at Haman as avodah zara. That's why he didn't bow down to him. Why didn't he bow down to Haman? Because he looked at Haman as Avodah Zarah. He said, I can't bow down to Avodah Zarah. Even if he puts me in danger, you cannot bow down to Avodah Zarah. It's one of the three cardinal sins. That's how he looked at Haman. Umay higi alehem, and what was his end? The itrachish nisa, that it happened to be a miracle at the end for him. Okay, Uman damar mechad devarim ha'ele, the one who says from after these matters, ma ra'a Haman shenitkaneh b'chol ha'yehudim. What did Haman see that he became jealous of all the Jews? Al kacha on this mishum de Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachave. Why? Because one man didn't bow down. One person didn't bow down. The gava he had, and Mordechai didn't bow. He became jealous. Uma yigia lehem, and what was the end? V'talu otov et banav ala etz. They hung him and his children on the tree. Uma namar mibalai lahu, and the one who says from that night, Mara'a Achashverosh lavi et sefer zichronot. What did Achashverosh, what did he see that he brought the book of remembrances in order to, see if maybe I forgot someone? What did he see? Al kacha dezeminte Esther laHaman be'ade, because Esther invited Haman with Achashverosh to the Seuda, to the Mishteh. And what, he got a little bit like, what's going on here? Uma higi alehem, and what was the end? The Itarchish Nisa, that happened to be a miracle at the end. Meaning Ahasuerus felt, hey, maybe I did something wrong, I didn't pay someone back, and so therefore that's why they're planning against me, or something like that, or so people are planning against me. So he looked and he found that he had to do an appreciation for Mordechai. Okay, we stopped there for questions. Okay, continuing. So the Gemara says, Amar Bichelbo, Amar Chama Bar Guria. Now we're going to say a bunch of things in this name, the same name of this Rav, and that's where we get to our maskana of all these things. Amar Rav. So the halacha kedivrei haomer kula. The halacha follows the opinion who says you have to read the whole Megillah. You cannot read part of the Megillah. But afilu leman damar me'ish Yehudi. And even if you want to say like the person who says that you can read from the second chapter of Ish Yehudi, tzichah sheteh ketuvah kula. It still needs to completely be written. You cannot just read a pasuk then write the next pasuk. Read a pasuk and write the next. All the Megillah has to be written. Even if you go like the lenient opinion who reads part of the Megillah, and he says, "V'amar bichel ba'amar ruchama bar guria amar rav." Megillah nikret sefer and nikret igeret. The Megillah is called a book and it's also called a letter. Nikret sefer shim tifra vechutei pishtan pesula. It's called a book because if you sew it and you put it together with strands of like linen or flax, you put it together with that, it's pasul. It cannot be put together with that. He says venikret igeret, and it's called a letter. Sheim hitil b'shalosha chutei gidin keshera. That if you only put it together with three strands of sinews, that would already be kasher, right? This is what we use for the Sefer Torah also. So that would already be kasher for the aspect of the Megillah, even just three. Amar al-Nachman, ulvad sheyu meshulashin, but they have to be meshulashin. What does meshulashin mean? So he explains, Rashi explains, sheyem merosh ha-tefer, ad mekom tefirat ha-gid, kemimenu va-ad gid ha-shani, mimin ha-shani ha-shishi, kemishalish l'sof ha-tefer. He says that imagine you have let's say you take this laptop, and let's say this is the top and this is the bottom of the Megillah. So it has to be from here until the first sew, has to be equidistant from there until the second sew, and until the third sew, and until the end of the Megillah. So if you take it, there's 1, 2, 3, and 4. But there's really, one, two, and three sections, really. There's three lines within those sections, but there's four spots you would go through. But it has to be equidistant from one another. That's what he meant by Mishulashim. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, HaKoreh b'Megillah K'tuvah b'in HaKtuvim. If you read a Megillah that's written in monks' Tanakh, let's say, it's a whole scroll with all of Tanakh in it, and you read the Megillah within that, he says, "Lo yatzah, you did not fulfill your obligation." Amar Rava, lo amaran, ela delo mechasera umiyatera purta. He says that's only the case when you didn't lengthen or minimize the Megillah a little bit to show that the Megillah is different. If it's the exact same size as the other klafim in the book, then it's no good. But he says, "Aval mechasera umiyatera purta leilamba." If it's a little bit smaller or a little bit bigger than the rest of the Sfarim, it shows that it's different. You can tell that's the Megillah. We're afraid that people won't be able to tell you're reading the Megillah, so therefore that would be okay. Levi bar Shmuel hava kae kame de Rav Yehuda. He was standing in front of Rav Yehuda, so he was reading kare kame de Megillah, de Rav Yehuda be Megillah. He was reading the Megillah in front of Rav Yehuda. Haktuva ben Haktuvim. And this Megillah was one that was written in the Tanakh. It was written within the Klaf of Tanakh. So it wasn't only the Megillah alone. He told him, someone who reads within the other books of the Tanakh, he's not fulfilling his obligation, so how are you doing this? He said again, he brought a source, this is, you do not fulfill your obligation. Okay, that's how, and what did he say back to him? He said, look, you're not fulfilling your obligation by doing something like this. So what did he respond? And he kind of like hit him on the head. Not actually, but he kind of, he took his what he said and he like broke it down. He said, no, what are you saying is not true. Only what you're saying is only in a tzibur, only in a minyan. But if a person's doing this by himself, praying b'yachidut, he's allowed to read a Megillah within the Ketuvim, within other books. It's only not allowed in a tzibur. Okay, let's continue. V'amar Rabbi Chaya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're on the fifth line on the second Amun. Shi'ur ha-tefer alakha l'Moshe Sinai. The leaving over. You know, what they do is when they sew together, they put together the Sfarim, the different Klafim together, they leave over on the top and on the bottom, a makom on top of the sewn spot. That, he says, is a halakha la Moshe Misinai, that you need to do that. So he says, umachu la amuchan, they hit him again. They said, no, what you're saying doesn't make sense, basically. I don't know if it's actually hit him, but they kind of proved him wrong. Velo amru ela kedei shelo yikra. They said, no, we only do that in order for the Megillah not to rip. It was a special way they would sew it, that they would leave makom on the top and on the bottom, so that when it was rolled together and folded together, it wouldn't get too tight and rip, chas v'shalom. So it would roll nicely and fold nicely. V'amar b'chia bar Abba amar b'yachonan, il male nishtaer b'me'ara sh'amad b'moshe v'liyahu, kim lo nekev machat tzidkit, lo ayu yicholin amon b'pnei ha'ora. Says, if only one little crack, one little tiny crack of a needle hole was left from the cave that Moshe and Eliyahu stood by, where Hashem places Mechitza, if only they stood over there, they would not be able to stand in front of it. But it's saying this because it's in the name of the same person who said the previous part. They said the Am Yisrael would not be able to stand in front of it because one little drop of Hashem's Shekhinah coming through that light would bring too much light, and they would not be able to even look at that kind of light. Shneemar ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Right, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody will see me and live. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. My dichti, what does the pasuk mean when it says va'alehem kekol ha'devarim asher diber Adonai imachem? Bahar. What is this pasuk referring to? Melamed sheher awa kadosh baruch hu Moshe diktukei Torah v'diktukei sofrim. Hashem showed Moshe all of the diktukim, all of the little nitty gritty things in the Torah and in the divrei chachamim and everything that the chachamim were going to say. Umash asher sofrim atidin lechadesh. Everything that rabbanim and the chachamim were going to in the future going to come out and renew and bring new chidushim. He told Moshe Rabbeinu already. Umay nihu, and what was that referring to? Mikra Megillah. That was referring to the Mikra Megillah. Okay, stop there for today. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.